In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is in our midst. Today I want to talk about faith. Faith is prominent this week in many ways. This week we see many examples of the lack of faith, the formula to obtain faith, and the perfect example of being faithful. Faith is clearly the message for today. So let's start with the gospel as an example of lack of faith. The gospel begins with a man coming to Jesus who had already gone to Jesus' disciples and asking that the dumb and deaf spirit be removed from his child. The tragedy of this child's life is described in some detail and includes the inability to hear or to speak, the lack of control of his own body, being flung in harm's way by a spirit. Jesus' first response to both the man and his disciples is to chastise them and calling into question their faith, calling them a faithless generation. So clearly our first lesson is that faith is critical for us if we wish to live a life in Christ. In fact, our salvation depends on our faith. St. Paul says to the Ephesians, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God." We are saved by the unmerited favor of God because of our faith. So if our salvation depends on faith, it's no wonder that Jesus was upset when the disciples still lacked sufficient faith to cure the child. Faith is critical to our salvation. And as such, it's a good idea that we understand what we are to do to acquire sufficient faith. In Romans, St. Paul says, "So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So our faith is strengthened by hearing the word of God. This means reading the Bible, paying attention to the homily. It means taking every opportunity to hear and understand God's word. This is why during our Lenten journey, we try to simplify our daily life and make more room for reading from Scripture, the writings of the saints, and to participate more frequently in the divine services of the church. But what else is needed to have faith sufficient, for example, to heal the possessed child? Well, interestingly enough, it's something we are called to do a great deal during Lent. The Lord makes it clear in his response to the disciples when he is teaching them how to gain faith sufficient to remove demons. He says, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer and fasting." So prayer and fasting are the means by which we can attain greater faith. I mentioned that we have many examples of faith or the lack thereof in this date and time. So let's review what happens when we lose faith by looking at the Old Testament book of Judges, and specifically learning the story of Gideon and the Midianites. Anybody know that one? A few of you? A lot of smiles, not a lot of this. All right, let me tell you the story. The book of Judges has a cycle that repeats again and again and again. Each cycle almost always starts with the words, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord." The evil that they did was usually breaking faith with the one true God by violating his commandments. And the commandment they most typically violated is they started worshiping other gods. So the cycle begins with for the people in which God first removes all the covenant blessings. Then the people are devastated at the hands of other nations. And then they repent and pray to God for forgiveness. And then God delivers them through a judge. And then the return of the blessings comes to them until they start the cycle again. Over and over and over and over in Judges. When we lose faith in God, we risk that all the things that come with God's blessings may be taken from us. Interestingly enough, when bad thing happens, what does human nature say? Human nature says that we start blaming God. Why did God do this to me? We can learn from the ancient Israelites what the cost of a lack of faith in God's promises yields. However, we can also learn from their experiences that God loves his people, and he never wavers in that love, and is willing to forgive and restore all who return to him in repentance. So let's go into that account of Gideon and the Midianites. So there's the Midianites are about to attack God's people, and Gideon is worried. So God comes up with this ingenious plan in the hopes that the Israelites will recognize that it is God who saves them. So at that time, there were about 32,000 fighters in the Israelite crew, okay? God tells Gideon, no, that's way too many. 32,000, even against a greater foe, they might think it was their superior tactics in war that caused them to win. So God tells Gideon, go to the people and say, whoever doesn't want to fight, you can go home. So he does. And now the number that's left is about 10,000. So 22,000 is like, I'm out of here. Okay? So of the 10,000 that are left, God's like, nope, that's still too many. You might still think it was you. So he tells them, have all 10,000 of them go to drink from the river. And most the men kneel down at the foot of the river and cup their hands and bring the water to their mouth, right? But there were 300 that just laid on the ground and lapped up the water like a dog. And God says, those are my guys. He sends home everyone but the 300 dog lappers, okay? And what we can assume from this is that these 300 men were the least equipped, least capable, and dare I say, dumbest of all the Israelites. So God did this so that when the battle was fought, there would be no question that the victory came from God alone. And God hoped that this would restore their faith. And of course, the battle is a success and faith is restored, but of course, only for a little while when the pattern repeats again. So now we have another example of emerging faith in the gospel today. The words of the man whose child is possessed. Clearly, he has some faith, or he wouldn't have taken his child to the disciples. Clearly, he had some faith or he would have given up when the disciples said, we can't help you. But he recognized that while his faith is small, he knew the Lord could help him. And when asked if he had faith that this child could be saved, he cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. This is the prayer of someone living a Christian life. We are saved by our baptism and acceptance of Christ as our Savior, but our salvation is a lifelong process of being saved. I believe. Help my unbelief is a prayer we all should say as we strive every day to be more faithful, to be more compassionate, to be more like Christ. Even this small faith and a desire to become more faithful was enough for Christ to act and save the child. Our final example of faith we find because we are just on the precipice of the Feast of the Annunciation. Coincidentally, there's a connection between the Annunciation and Gideon. In the Akathist canon, we hear the words, "Rejoice, bedewed fleece, which Gideon, O virgin, foresaw." The hymnographer is drawing a link between Gideon and the Theotokos through the miracle of the fleece, as recounted also in the book of Judges. So the fathers of the church saw the story of Gideon and the fleece as a foreshadowing of the Theotokos. St. Gregory Palamas wrote that the virgin accepted the dew of heaven from above, namely the Holy Spirit. And in the dryness of humanity at that time, she brought to the world not only the heavenly rain, but the Lord of the clouds. The angel of the Lord revealed to Gideon that he would save Israel, just as Gabriel revealed to the Virgin Mary, "Rejoice, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." That's another Gideon story where, like, he wasn't quite sure if God really wanted him to do what God told him. So he said, "I'm going to put a fleece in the tent. And in the morning, if there's what dew on the fleece and the ground is dry, I'll know you were really telling me that's what you wanted me to do." So he did it. And then Gideon's like, "Well, I'm still not convinced." And he says, "Now this time, have the fleece be dry and the ground be wet." And the Lord's very patient with Gideon. But anyway, so Gideon had to ask repeatedly for signs from God to make sure God really wanted him to lead a smaller army to defeat a larger one. But the Theotokos was told by an angel that she would conceive and bear a son. His name would be Jesus. He would be great. He would be called the Son of the Most High. He would set on the heavenly throne. He would reign forever. His kingdom would be everlasting. And oh, by the way, this is going to happen because the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. So Gideon is told he's going to go win a battle, and he asks God several times to make sure that's really what God wants. But Mary is presented by an angel with an entire list of miraculous things. She simply says, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your will." Brothers and sisters, this is the faith that was before unseen in the history of the Bible. This is the faith that causes God's plan for our salvation to move from the planning phase to the implementation phase. Equipped with her own free will, she simply said yes and put her full faith in God. So let us not be like the Israelites of old, whose faith dwindled and had to be restored over and over and over again with all the collateral damage and great suffering. And let us instead be like the father of the demon-possessed child and take what faith we can muster, but at the same time ask the Lord to strengthen our faith. And finally, let us look to the Mother of God as an example for us of our faith's objective, of what we can accomplish if we put our faith completely in the Lord. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.